The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 128 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I am Stephen Mill and he is Ewan Cameron. He is back.
I'm back, baby. Baby, I'm back. I missed you last week.
Well,
I know I was on the show with you for a brief moment, but I'm back, baby. Hello, here I am. Do you know, I realised last week it was the first podcast I've ever missed.
I was going to say, like, you don't often miss a podcast.
No, it's the first one.
Yeah.
I've never been off, whereas you've had a number of holidays over the last couple of years that we've been on this podcast.
Am I not allowed to take holidays, is that?
Yeah, but I am more considerate. I have a job to do. Yeah. Stephen Mills theme tune, because he's always on fucking holiday.
It's a great theme tune, though.
It is very good. What's the first thing you think of when you hear that piece of music?
Jill Dando.
No, I don't think of her. I think of the other one. Who's the other blonde that used to do it?
Gloria Hunniford.
Her.
She on it? That, I don't know. Was she a presenter on holiday?
Oh, yeah, back in the day.
Aye, Gloria Hunniford, yeah. I remember her.
Oh, no.
I don't think she was. Judith Chalmers.
That's
who it was. I mean, see, back in the day, right, in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
What a gig.
Those holiday shows were unreal.
So they were like, oh, you're vaguely famous. We'll just punt you over to Spain for a week and just have a holiday.
Los Angeles, Florida.
Everywhere.
Anywhere. Far East, the lot.
We got into the game at the wrong time. We really did.
Yeah, we did. So it's nice to be back. I spent a week in Dubai. I was in Dubai and then I went to Abu Dhabi and then went back to Dubai. And the good thing about going back to the Middle East, where it kind of all began for me, is I've got a lot of friends and family there, so all I need to do is buy an air ticket. I'd have to pay for hotels, because it can be quite expensive when you're going to the Middle East.
However, given what you said on the show a few weeks ago, this might cause problems for you in the toilet department.
Oh, see the messages I was getting about that.
Yeah. Well, because you made a very strong stand a few weeks ago that you should never have a number two at your friend's house or your family's house or anything like that.
No.
So could you just not eat for a week, or?
Well, do you want me to address the many messages that I got while I was in Dubai?
I think we're going to have to address that.
See the amount of people that message me going, where is Ewan having a number two when he was ranting and raving about not being able to have a number two at a friend's house or a family's house or a stranger's house, and that I did suggest you maybe go into the garden or go into a forest.
Well, you're in the Middle East, so you could have gone in the desert. And as you so graphically described a few weeks ago, that you could do it in the desert and then cover it up like a cat.
Like a cat. Dig a wee hole and cover it up like a cat.
Aye.
So I'm going to tell you, at no point did I have a number two in any of the houses that I visited. I have a regular routine when it comes to my toilet habit. And when I was at the pool, I would use the toilet.
The communal facilities.
In the pool area. So my sister lived. So I stayed with my sister for four days.
Wait.
Can I just now? Let me explain first. Then you can say what you want to say. You can ask me any question that you like.
Okay, right.
So my sister lives in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
She lives on Yas Island,
yeah,
and she lives in a villa. And within the villa, there's like a compound within the villa. There is a swimming pool.
Yeah,
there is a gym, there's saunas, there's tennis courts and all sorts of things.
It's like a gated community.
Yes. And I would use the pool on a regular basis. I went into sauna and I did a jacuzzi and all that stuff. And whenever I timed using the pool for when I needed a number two, so I didn't have to do it in the house. Now, I had my own.
So you shat in the pool?
No, I didn't. No, in the toilet within the pool facility.
Right, okay.
I did have my own ensuite. So I was in a room in my sister's villa, and I had my own ensuite, but like a hotel, I could have used it, but I didn't, because I'm not rude. Right?
But this flies
so
in the face.
I just used the facilities in and around the area that I lived in.
So you.
I didn't dig a hole in the sand and cover it up. I didn't do any of that. That's where I did my number twos.
You would rather use public facilities?
Than use my sister's toilet, yes.
And God knows who's been in there.
Yeah, but you know what the Middle East is like. The standards are very high. It's very clean. And I hover. I don't sit. I hover. You don't sit in a public toilet. Doesn't matter where you are. Even though you could eat your dinner in the toilet in the Middle East, because it's that clean.
But hover.
I hover.
What happens if things go on for a long time?
You hover.
I mean, that's...
I never sit down.
Incredible.
I never sit down.
Upper thigh and core strength.
Oh, totally, mate. You should see my thighs.
Yeah.
You should see... Do you want to feel them?
No. No,
no, but they're really big.
Right.
So I hovered.
Right.
So to answer everybody's question on Twitter about what was I doing on holiday when I was visiting friends and family, how was I going to the bathroom? That's your answer. Now, if you'd like to question me on that, feel free, but I've just explained it to you. I'm a man of my word, I'm not rude, and I'm not going to be doing number twos in a friend's or family's house.
Well, you can leave your comments on YouTube, of course. Leave your comments, your reaction to that.
Yes, please do.
I personally think that that's mental.
No, it's not. No, no,
it's
not.
It is mental.
I think it's actually...
I'm sure the overwhelming feedback to that will be, Ewan, that's another mental thing you just said.
I would describe that as being considerate of others.
How? Because how's it considerate to other people? Because other people have to use that toilet. More people will use that toilet than the one in your sister's house.
Yeah, but I don't know them. I don't give a shit. Shit. Anyway, so that was that. There's another wee thing that I need to... There's another wee thing that I need to bring up here before we get to the football at the weekend. Although there wasn't much going on apart from the Scotland game and a couple of wee games in the Championship, etc. Another wee thing. So I was here 2 weeks ago, right? Because I was off last week. And 2 weeks ago, I told you that I'd got a flamethrower to my ears. Mm-hmm. Hairy ears. I'd went to the hairdressers, and the first time in 12 years of going to my local hairdresser that I've supported for 12 years, spent a lot of money there, me, my kids, he used a flamethrower to my ears for the first time.
Yeah, because you've got hairy ears.
There's clearly hair growing for the first time, and he had to deal with it. So he used a fucking flamethrower in my ears. So I go on holiday, came back on Friday night, mm-hmm. went to the hairdressers yesterday, went into the hairdressers, and I'm going to say this right now, we've got a fucking grass that listens to this show. There's a grass that listens to this show.
Maybe they're just following your lead, how you grass people up on the train.
There's a grass that listens to this show. I don't know who you are, don't know anything about you, but you're a grass because you went into that hairdressers and you told them that I was slagging off Mehmet, my pal Mehmet, who's been cutting my hair for 12 years, and then he pulled me up yesterday in the hairdressers. What the fuck have you been saying about me, about cutting your hair and how shit it is and using a flamethrower on yours? I never used a flamethrower. Blah, 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 blah. We had a grass. Hmm. So can I phone Mehmet?
You can phone Mehmet.
I'm going to try and get to the bottom of this, find out who it is. He might not answer the phone right enough, but we'll give him a call. It's Mehmet, my hairdresser. Find out who this grass is.
Hello.
Mehmet, it's Ewan. You all right, mate?
Yes, man, how are you doing?
Not bad.
I got your number anyway, saved. I knew it was you.
Right. Mehmet, you're on the podcast, okay?
Right, okay.
Right, and the reason I'm phoning you is because when I walked into your hairdressers yesterday, you were angry with me because somebody's been talking about me.
No, I wasn't angry.
Well, you kind of were. You kind of like picked something up, didn't you? You said something.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So while I was on holiday, somebody came into your hairdressers and said what to you?
Right. Oh, what they said is even talking about you.
Yeah.
Because I was in your ears, framed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would like to know who was that person that was grassing me up?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that because I don't know the guy's name.
You don't know the guy's name? Is he a regular to the hairdressers?
Yes.
Yes. And you do know his name, but you don't want to tell me.
Oh, I don't actually know his name because I've got many regular customers. So.
Oh, okay. Right, okay. Is he young? Is he old?
Average.
Is he younger than me?
Probably the same.
And he's from the Falkirk area.
And what kind of haircut does he get?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, you just don't tell me nothing, eh?
No.
I've been coming to you for 12 years and you're protecting an asshole.
How am I supposed to remember that? What kind of haircut he's got? Hey, come
right.
on.
Okay, right. Anyway, next time he comes in, take a picture of him and send it to me.
Right, I will do that.
Okay, I'm going to hunt him down. Bye, okay. Mehmet.
See you later, bye.
Love you.
Me too.
Bye. It's Mehmet, it's my hairdresser.
It's Mehmet the hairdresser. Oh, well, that was nice.
That is nice. Hey, do you want to see what it looks like?
What, Mehmet the hairdresser?
That's Mehmet.
Mehmet looks like a nice hairdresser.
He's a cool guy.
Okay.
Anyway, you know who you are because you listen to this show. I'll find you. I'll find you. Don't you worry about it.
Right.
Oh, I've got a joke for you.
Oh, God. In fact, actually.
What?
We've got something. Thank you, yet again, to the creator of Channel 5's Ewan Cameron's song. He has been back in touch and he has a joke jingle for you. Do we have the joke jingle? Of the week. Not some of your best work, I would say.
Nah.
John?
That's pretty poor.
What do you think about that?
There was a wee dodgy edit in there, but I think Ed was going to look into it and sort it all out.
Yeah, I think that needs redone.
Yeah, we won't be playing that again.
No, we won't play that again. Hey, but do you have a joke?
Yeah, I've got a joke for you. Thanks for that, Ed, but please do better next time. What generation did Forrest Gump belong to?
What generation did Forrest Gump belong to? I don't know. Which generation did Forrest Gump belong to?
Jenny. Jenny.
I get it. Yeah. It's just
Jenny.
It's just not very funny.
I think it's really good. Jenny!
He wasn't Bruce Forsyth. When did Forrest Gump become Bruce Forsyth?
Oh, yeah, Forrest. That was Forrest.
The famous quotes from Forrest Gump. Good game, good game. What a wonderful audience.
Jenny!
Right, that was terrible, even by your standards.
No, I think it was really good. So,
did you watch any films when you were away? Or on the flight? Have you got any recommendations for us?
On the flight coming back?
Well, just anything. You got
on the flight coming back, I watched Superman.
All right.
From 1978.
Cool.
Ewan, what is wrong with your... Like, when you go on holiday, it's a chance to see all the new films because they're on the plane.
Yeah, but
and then you've waited... Last week you were saying you were watching Blackadder Series 2... And the Empire Strikes Back. And now it's Superman, the original Christopher Reeve.
To be fair, I have watched Die Hard on a lot of flights.
Okay, right. Can I explain this? I'm a movie guy, okay? And I've got a nice wee setup in the house. I've got a wee...
Still got your Blu-rays as well, Ewan, haven't you?
I do like my Blu-rays, yeah, because you get the special editions.
You have Blu-rays?
Have you not heard this, Stephen?
I've got Blu-rays.
No!
I buy Blu-rays still.
Why? It's an obsolete...
I'm a movie guy.
It's an absolute obsolete industry.
I'm buying the 4K versions of my favourite movies.
But you can get them on the telly and save them on your telly or buy them.
Yeah, but you don't get the special edition versions and the documentaries and the trailers and all that.
They're on YouTube for free.
Anyway, so let me explain why I don't watch new movies in a plane. And the reason for that is because the screen's too small and I can't appreciate the new movie, so I'd rather watch something I've seen before.
I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I tried to watch Dune.
You can't.
On a flight.
You can't.
And it was just noise.
Yeah, you can't.
Shite earphones and all the rest of it.
You can't.
And I also tried to watch Top Gun Maverick, maybe on about three flights.
And you just can't, can
and
you?
And I can't.
No, that's the reason why I watched Superman. So I watched Superman. And you know what's a good thing about the flight coming back? Is it the back of the plane? It was quite empty. It was on the new, there was the big one, the A380-800, that fucking massive thing with four engines on it.
Aye.
Huge. It can only go to certain airports because it's that big. But the back of the plane, it was empty. So my wife took four seats, went to sleep, and I took three seats, went to sleep. And I watched Superman and then got up and had my lunch and then I dozed for a couple more hours. And yeah, it was a lovely flight. So yeah, I'd recommend Superman if you've not seen it. The original with Christopher Reeve and Gene Hackman, God rest his soul. Because he just recently passed away.
He did, yeah.
So I'd recommend that.
Cool, excellent. Well, that's good then. In your absence, Dunfermline sacked their manager and appointed Neil Lennon, which I don't think anyone saw coming on either counts, to be honest with you.
I think it's a brilliant appointment. I love the appointment. I think it shows ambition. It shows intent. Well, I said that on Saturday in the Big Scots.
Before we get into that in detail...
Uh-huh.
We did speak about the shortest managerial reigns because Michael Tinsler was in charge for 59 days at Dunfermline.
Was
right?
that all?
Yeah. Frank Sozzi at Hibs.
69.
69 days.
Mm-hmm.
That was from Murray McCurdy. Richard Allen, isn't Kenny Miller at Livingston one of the shortest managers?
It was in like hours. It was like 2 days or something.
Nah,
I don't even know if he managed a game.
So he was appointed player manager of Livingston in June 2018, and he left on August the 19th.
June, July, August.
So he was appointed on the 30th of June.
And he left in August.
And he left on the 19th of August, if you would like to do a wee calculation on that. I mean, what's that? That would be 40, 50 days maybe that he was in charge.
Yeah, that would work about right.
31 days in July.
That would be the shortest managerial role then.
Plus 19 is 50.
Yeah.
And if you're including the day he was appointed, maybe 51.
Uh-huh.
So Kenny Miller Livingston is actually shorter. Reno Gattuso lasted 23 days at Fiorentina. That's from Mike Bannerman. I saw a funny interview with Reno Gattuso last week. He's in Croatia now. And he started arguing with the pundit.
The pundit, did you see that? We refused to speak to him or shake his hand.
Do you know what's also amazing about
But what was that about?
He said, like, the pundit had been slagging off the team or something like that.
Okay.
What was amazing about it, he was arguing with the guy in English and Italian and I think Spanish.
Yeah.
Just going absolutely off his rocker.
Refused to speak to him. Refused to acknowledge him.
And by also, the way, there's that famous clip. One of my favourite clips on the internet is Reno Gattuso. I can't remember where he was at when he was like, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
The thing about Reno Gattuso, see for me,
yeah.
If I was that pundit, be shit myself.
Yeah, he's a bit mentally.
You're not messing with Reno Gattuso, that's for sure.
Yeah. Also, Mike Bannerman says, can I just say, I thought John did a fantastic job replacing Ewan. And maybe making it a triumvirate of hosts might be the way forward.
God, no chance.
Listen, John got a lot of good feedback.
I know he did. I saw it. I didn't watch it, if I'll be honest. I didn't see any of it.
You didn't watch me?
Mate, I was on holiday, so I will watch it maybe. You know what I'll do?
What?
I'll listen to it on the way home.
There you go.
I'll listen to it on the way home because I need to catch up from last week. Well, I'll listen to it on the way home. I could have listened to it in the plane on the way back, but I was watching Superman.
Kyle Edmondson says, wait a minute, Sweaty Octopus isn't bald. I was picturing Captain Picard. I don't know. I don't think you sound bald, John. I mean, but I know what you look like. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Jason Brown says, Ewan's staying at his mate's house just casually shiting in the garden for a couple of days. Hitch Kevin says, now we know how Stevie wins the quiz. Bet Channel 5's Ewan Cameron aces that quiz and needs independent questions. A steward's inquiry. John won the quiz. With a 1-0 victory last week.
1-0 victory. So who was the quizmaster?
Gary Spence came in and did the quiz.
So who made the questions?
Producer Dan.
So Dan made the questions. Gary came in and read them out.
And John, I think you'll agree. The questions were solid.
They were rock solid.
And then the last one...
But I'm not surprised with Dan. Dan's pretty good.
Like, the last one was... the one that John won it on was how many members of the current Scotland squad play abroad?
There's loads just now. Got quite a few in Serie A. I just said 7.
It's the correct answer. So you'd have won the quiz last week because I said 5.
So can I win it by default for getting that right?
Don't think so. Okay. Scrambros says, while sitting on a flight, sitting with my headphones on, listening to the podcast via Amazon Music, I had to literally laugh out loud. The wife asked what I found so funny. I'd accidentally knocked the podcast play speed down to 0.5. It's the funniest thing I've heard in ages. You guys sounded pissed. I urge everyone to go and try it. It's my new favourite way to listen along. I mean, if you did it on half speed, the podcast would literally be about 3 hours long.
Yes.
Or 4 hours long.
I can imagine how that'd be funny for a little bit, but not for the entire thing.
Joe Carson says, Ewan looks like George Michael when he's smoking doobies in the bushes. And Nath Murray says, a new WWE Intercontinental Breakfast Champion, Ewan Cameron, crowd boos.
What did I say again last week?
You said you had an intercontinental breakfast.
Yeah, it's not that, is it?
And to be fair, you've been very modest here, John, but there was lots of good feedback for Sweaty John. Sweaty John.
I know, I thought I didn't want to give you in a complex, so I thought I would keep it out.
I don't give a shit.
You know?
Do you think I care about you, mate? Not
think,
a chance.
John, you did a good job stepping
Thank
in
you,
at the
Steve.
Last minute.
The last minute as well, because there was a whole host of people that we'd asked.
Yeah. Well, and we had someone nailed in, and then they shat it.
The night before, a bit like we called Donaldson with me.
Yeah.
And I had to call Jordan Young on the Monday morning to come in that afternoon.
Yeah.
Because somebody shat it the night before, called Donaldson.
Yeah.
He wouldn't shat. We should maybe call him today.
Oh, and be we'll be calling them soon when they've won the league, so we'll save that.
Well, I sent him a message on Saturday afternoon at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And I'll read out what he replied with. Did call. Because it's the first thing I do on a Saturday afternoon when they win a game.
Such a crawler.
So I went, 11 clear, woohoo. You only need 3 wins to win the title. And then I put a trophy emoji.
Yeah.
Trophy emoji. He says, haha, still a long way to go, my friend. I went, we did the maths here on the show. You only need 3 wins. It's over, mate. Get ready to celebrate. He says, look, wins are hard to... wins are hard as F at this time of the season. It's not going to be that easy.
Well...
And I replied, 3 wins, mate, and your rivals still need to win every game. That ain't going to happen. They can only get to 73 points if they win every game. It ain't going to happen. Ha ha, Ewan, please, please, please stop saying this. It's not over until it's over. And I went, it's over. You'll be off to Ibrox, Tyne and Celtic Park next season. Get used to it.
Yeah. Right.
Should we phone him at some point?
Not today. We had enough.
He's training you.
He's training.
Let him concentrate and try to win the league.
He stops
please.
For us. He loves us.
I know, but we'll get him on when they've won the league.
Say that.
Well, you've won the league already, so it's fine. I was hosting the Scotland Fan Zone yesterday before the game, and lots of Falkirk fans came up and
what were they saying?
Just slagging me off, basically. Yeah. But that's fine. You know,
Did they mention Fortunate Falkirk to you?
Why are you phoning him?
Because he's my pal. There he is. He loves us. And he loves coming on when they win.
Even when John was on last week, we had less Falkirk content.
Because I know it winds you up. That's why I like doing it.
He's training you in.
Can't megaphone just now. Please leave your name and number after the beep. Thank you.
After you've finished your message, just hang up.
He sounded pissed there, didn't he? Press 1. Hey, call, darling. It's your pal, Ewan.
For fuck's sake.
Give us a call back, mate. Champ. Captain right. Marvel. Give us a shout. We're on the podcast. Love to hear from you, mate. We're here for a wee bit longer. So when you're finished training and you've had that bath, give us a wee call. Cheers, mate. Love you.
You're such an odd person.
He sends me kisses.
Other things that happened when you were away. Police have started a probe into Vaclav Cherny's water skoosh.
Oh, that was funny. That was funny. The reaction's hilarious.
I don't think it'll come to anything, surely. I mean,
they have to be seen to be doing something because, like, I think it's funny. Mm-hmm. I think the world thinks it's funny. But in a game like that, which is a volatile game at the best of times, I get why they're going to look into it. Mm. And then what they'll do is they'll go, do you know what? Bad boy, slap on the wrist, don't do that again.
Rangers have released a statement after facing sanctions from UEFA regarding racist and or discriminatory banner that they held up at the Fenerbahce game.
I still don't understand what that banner is about. But
Rangers described it as shameful.
Yeah.
And the paragraph that I saw getting shared quite a lot, for the avoidance of doubt, if you do not believe in 2025, that absolutely everyone is welcome to follow Rangers, whether at Ibrox or away, then Rangers is not the club for you and you should disassociate yourself with the club immediately.
I think that is one of the best statements that Rangers have put out in years. And again, I've said it many a time over the years, there is a minority within most supports, and Hearts have got their problems as well. Being honest, so it's not just me having a pop at Rangers here, I know Hearts have got a wee issue as well. That's a stance that every club needs to take. That was a very strong worded statement and Rangers should be applauded for it and were applauded for it. So well done.
Okay, let's move on to the weekend's football then, and mega disappointment for Scotland. Absolutely pumped at Hampden last night. Scotland 0, Greece 3. So Greece take their place in Group A of the Nations League when it comes back next year. Scotland will be in Group B. First game. First 45 minutes, I thought Scotland were excellent.
In 180 minutes, we had one good 45 minutes.
We did.
That was it.
Because the second half, we were holding on a wee bit, more than a wee bit, over in Athens, but managed to get the win, right, which was the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And then I struggle to remember Scotland being as poor at Hampden as they were last night. You know, like, in an actual game that was significant, I know we lost to, like, Northern Ireland and stuff like that, but, like, In terms of that last night, we were so bad.
It's as you say, it's one of the worst performances we've put in. And see, for this Nations League campaign, even though we were getting beat, I was very positive. Because I thought we were good against Portugal and Croatia and Poland, apart from the first game against Poland in that group when we lost 3-2 at Hampden. But apart from that, I thought we put in some really good performances and we're a wee bit unlucky not to get a result, particularly in Portugal when we lost by 2-1, narrowly. It was like a last-minute winner.
It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo as well. So, yeah, that it was really disappointing. Now, I was quite critical of Steve Clark last night and he's in his team selection and where he played Ryan Christie. But overall, I thought the team were awful. And I think what Steve Clark said afterwards, in hindsight, I think he knew he made a mistake in not freshening the team up.
Yeah, he kind of said that in his press conference last night.
By the way, I think he was swithering to make those changes but decided not to. But I think deep down, he wanted to, but he thought, well, look, we've got a 1-0 win there. I'll just go with what we've got.
Well, the change he did make was Ferguson. Now, the only thing that I can think of why he didn't play Ferguson.
Long-time injury.
He had a long-term injury, and he thought maybe two high-intensity matches in 3 days.
Too much for him.
That's the only thing that I can think of. However, surely if you're bringing Christie in, you bring him in and you play him where he's been having the season of his life at Bournemouth.
Last two seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been a revelation at Bournemouth in a deeper role in a 4-2-3-1. He has been outstanding. He's not only been the best player for Bournemouth, and the Bournemouth players absolutely love him, the manager, Areola, has says he's integral to everything that we do. He is phenomenal. His aggression, he's on the front foot, his pressing, creating chances, stopping play, getting through him and whoever's alongside him, whether it be Cook or whoever. I was gobsmacked that he wasn't playing alongside Gilmore and dropped Kenny McLean to the bench. Put Christie where he has been a revelation, not just for Bournemouth, but in the Premier League. See, when you look at stats I put on the group chat last night, he's like second for the Premier League in this stat and eighth in the Premier League for this stat. And
he puts
him at right wing.
Not only did he not do that, He plays McGinn in the middle.
Aye.
And McGinn plays wide right.
Where he plays for Villa.
For
brilliantly.
Villa.
Aye. And he tucks in.
So I didn't understand
but
that.
But then he makes the substitutions and he puts McGinn where McLean was.
Yeah.
And he kept Christie at right wing and then eventually hooked Christie, who for me, on form, is up there with Scott McTominay.
Also, I think the crowd obviously were, you know, there was significant boon when Billy Gilmore got taken off. I don't think Gilmore had a great game. However, I wouldn't take Gilmore off the pitch because as you witnessed in the last sort of 15 minutes,
nobody was on the ball.
Nobody was willing to make that forward pass and nobody was shown for the ball. And obviously the crowd were getting really, really frustrated. I was at the game and the crowd were getting really frustrated because the ball just kept having to turn back in. And effectively, Grant Hanley was having to be the playmaker.
He was being Gilmore.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas if you had Gilmore still on the pitch, he would have dropped deep, got the ball and
made those passes.
Made something happen. Now, I don't think Gilmore had a particularly good game, but I would just never take him off because he's so integral to the way that we play.
Correct.
And if, you know, the game was done. However, with 15 minutes to go,
get one goal.
Had we got one goal, we could have got another one and then it's extra time. So, you know, I saw people moaning about where he brought on James Wilson and played him on the right hand side. Right. By that time, we were just like chucking people on the pitch, I think.
Strikers, anyone can get us a goal.
Exactly. So I wouldn't read too much into that.
I wouldn't read into that either. What I will say about Steve Clark, right?
I was just going to ask you about Clark, because obviously you have been critical of Clark significantly at the Euros. However, you did say that during that Nations League campaign at the tail end of last year, you know, he changed his philosophy. We were playing a lot better.
Yeah,
obviously, playing the front foot first half against Greece over in Athens as well. So where do you stand with him now?
See, I've always not been the biggest fan of Steve Clark because of his, how would I describe it, pragmatic approach. When I think that we've got probably the best generation of Scotland players that we've had for 25, 30 years, genuinely believe that. You look at where the players are playing their football just now, the Premiership, Serie A, also in La Liga, etc. Playing at Celtic, playing at Rangers, who are getting experience in European football, etc. So I think that he's a pragmatic manager and I've never been the biggest fan. And what I have disagreed with is that for some strange reason, the Tartan Army have put him on a pedestal. He's got like godlike status because we qualified for two major tournaments. And I've said this all along, and I'm going to remind you again. It's easier now not to qualify than it is.
For the Euros.
No, sorry. It's, as I'm talking about the Euros, it's easier to qualify than it's not to qualify. Nearly 50% of the nations in Europe qualify for the European Championships, which is why the likes of Georgia and Albania are all getting a chance, because it's easier to get into the European Championships. He shouldn't be given the godlike status that he has got. He's got godlike status. Everyone keeps throwing at me, but he qualified us for two Euros. He's this, he's that. No, you give that team to Walter Smith, to Alex McLeish, to Gordon Strachan. They not only get us to the European Championships, I'm telling you, they not only get us to the European Championships.
I'll remind you, Alex McLeish led us to a 3-0 defeat away in Kazakhstan.
I'm talking about first time round. When he replaced Walter Smith.
Right, okay, but that was nearly 20 years ago.
It doesn't matter. My point is this. It was so difficult to qualify for major tournaments then. My point is this. Steve Clark, for me, does not deserve the godlike status that he has got for getting us to two major tournaments.
I disagree. I don't think the Tartan Army can see anything wrong.
They think he's fucking the best thing since sliced bread.
I don't think they do.
My point is this.
I don't think they do.
My point is
I don't think he has godlike status at all.
Look at his record overall. I think he's won, what, 27 games in 69? Something like that. I think that he is a very fortunate manager because, as I said, it's easier to qualify than not, especially for the European Championships. And my point is this, if Gordon Strachan...
Gordon Strachan had the opportunity to qualify in 2016 and didn't.
Right.
In the same setup.
Wait. I'm just saying, this current squad of players that we've got, this current squad of players right now... We are blessed with some really good players. I don't think that Steve Clark is ultimately getting the best out of them. And I think that Gordon Strachan, Walter Smith and Alex McLeish not only get us to the Euros, which Steve Clark did, we get out the groups. And I'm going to say this now. I was going off my rocker when he kept going with 3-5-2, 5-3-2 or 5-3-1 or 4-1 or whatever it was in the Euros. I believe to this day, had he gone with a 4-2-3-1 at the Euros... On both occasions, we get out the groups. His pragmatic approach has held us back.
Right, he's now playing the preferred formation.
But then, what does he do? He's not watching Bournemouth. He's not watching Bournemouth.
Right.
He's going with a 33-year-old in Kenny McLean in the Championship.
I agree with you, but Kenny McLean wasn't the reason we lost the game last night.
But Stephen, I think had Ryan Christie been where he should have been. Where he should have been. And also another thing.
I agree, but I don't think Kenny McLean lost the game for us last night.
Listen, he should have made changes. I think he knows that now. And fair play to the guy. He kind of had put his hands up at the end of the game. He goes, you know what? I should have made changes. Greece made six. They refreshed their team. And it made a huge difference to them. We looked leggy. After the first 10, 15 minutes, we looked leggy and lethargic. We weren't as pressing as high as we were in the first game, in the first half. I think he made a big error. He knows that. I felt sorry for Anthony Ralston. I think he got caught quite a few times last night at Hampden. But this is a boy who doesn't play any football for Celtic. To expect him to go from Thursday to Sunday to play the high-intensity game that you need in games like that.
Johnson should have come in there.
He should have made the changes. He should play Christie where he should be playing, where he is for Bournemouth. I think he made a number of mistakes last night. And I also found as well, unfortunately, a bit like at the Euros, we were sat too deep. And I thought between Shea Adams and the midfield three, the gaps were too big. Way too big. There was no support getting up there quick enough, apart from that first 10 minutes when McTominay has that shot across goal.
I actually don't disagree with you there. But a couple of things. I don't think the Tartan Army as a whole treats Steve Clark as with godlike status. I think there's plenty of people who have had criticisms of him over the last wee while. So I think that's unfair to say that. Secondly, I agree with you. Ryan Christie should have been playing where he should have been playing.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the reason we lost the match. We lost the match because too many of our big players were really poor. Scott McTominay, John McGinn, Andy Robertson had a nightmare last night.
He was poor.
And I'm not saying, obviously these guys aren't going out deliberately being shite or having poor games. Sometimes that just happens. And I just think Greece looked a really decent side. I thought they looked really decent.
What I'm going to say now, this is going to upset the Tartan Army. We're not going to the World Cup.
So, I was going to come on to that because obviously last night Portugal beat Denmark.
Yeah.
I think it's a really interesting group.
We're not getting there, mate.
So it's difficult to get there, remember. It is difficult to get there.
We're in a group of four.
Belarus you can discount, right? So 6 points.
We'll struggle away from home against them. We always struggle against like Georgia, Albania, whoever away from home.
It'll be played on neutral ground. I think we'll be fine. And Belarus aren't great.
No.
So I mean, if we've got any chance of qualifying for the World Cup, we need 6 points from them straight off the bat.
Which you'd expect the other two to get.
Precisely. I think it's going to be interesting, though, because as we've seen over the past few days, yeah, Greece were excellent last night. We've also beaten Denmark at home.
In a nothing game.
Well, it was
the 10th game in the group.
It was nothing for us.
They'd already qualified.
I know, but, you know.
And they made changes on the night.
They did, but we still beat them, Ewan. You can only beat what's in front of you.
Correct, but you also have to look at the bigger picture there, Stephen. Don't try and dress up something that's not.
No, but what I'm saying is, I don't think there's much between us, Greece, and Denmark.
I'll tell you what the difference is. Steve Clarke will cost us a World Cup place. That's my fear.
So you're sitting there, Steve Clarke out.
Steve Clarke out. I mean, I wanted him out.
Well, if you're saying that he's going to... If you're saying that he's going to cost us a World Cup place, just, then surely you're Steve Clarke out.
Hold on. So before the Nations League with Portugal, Poland and Croatia, I wanted him gone before it. I thought after the Euros they should have sacked him and moved on. He did as good as he could. That's as good as it was going to get with Scotland under Steve Clarke. And I believed that for a long time. And then I watched our performances against Portugal, Croatia and Poland. Forget the game at Hampden with Poland. But the rest of them, I thought we were good. We showed good intent. We created chances. We were a threat, home and away. And then we picked up a couple of really good results towards the end of the Nations League campaign that gave us a chance to stay in Group A. So I praised them and I thought, okay then, fine, I'll go with that. After last night and after the 45 minutes in the second half, I'm still of the opinion that Steve Clarke has taken us as far as we can go with that group of players. And a bit like Southgate. I know Southgate got into finals and stuff, but they had one of the best and easiest runs you could ever imagine in all the tournaments that Southgate was in charge of for qualifying and also getting on the side of the draw that they were on and playing lesser nations who they're expected to beat. So you can look at that. I believe, had somebody else been in charge of England at that time, England would have won a World Cup and they would have won a Euros. But because of Southgate, they didn't. I'm of the opinion that Steve Clarke is similar. I think he's taken them as far as he can take them. I think we've got a great group of players, exciting players coming through as well, that I think that we would probably be better off making a change and bringing in some fresh ideas. Well done, Clarkey. You got us the 2 Euros. Should we have done better? Yes. Did you fail miserably? Yes, you did. Should you have got sacked after what happened in Germany? 100%. I gave you the benefit of doubt during the Nations League. But if you're asking me right now, going forward, will he take us to the World Cup? I don't believe he will. I think that we will fail to get to the World Cup under Steve Clarke. I think Greece and Denmark are ahead of us. After watching them for 45 minutes in Athens and what we saw at Hampden, we ain't going to get anything in Athens. If we do, it'll be a miracle, a bit like the other night there. But I think they're a cracking sight. And see the young players they brought on. They're not scared to give young players a chance. For me, Steve Clarke's got his favourites, sticks to his favourites. And the problem is he going to change that philosophy? I think he's too scared to, because he's a pragmatic manager.
No, but Kenny McLean
should be nowhere near that squad now.
Kenny McLean was excellent during the Nations League, though.
What I would say is, out with the old, in with the new. You're Lennon Miller's this world, right?
Right.
Well, players like that.
Wait the night.
Players like
before
that.
Before we get to that.
You're Max Johnson, all these boys.
You're saying
give these boys a chance.
You're saying he doesn't change his approach. And then he did change his approach, and you praised him for it. So
I did, but again, I'm looking at the bigger picture, Stephen.
But by the way,
I'm not going by fucking 6 games against Portugal, Greece, and I'm just talking about the overall picture.
You said he won't change, and literally you praised him for changing.
Yeah, I did. But do I think he's taken this group as far as he can go
well,
as
that's
a manager?
A different question.
Right, but that's the question I'm answering. I'm asking you, I'm going to give you £1,000 right now. Are you betting Scotland to qualify for the World Cup?
I think we've got...
If you had £1,000, would you put Scotland...
I think it's going to be extremely tough.
Right, so...
Is it
more likely no or yes?
I'd put it 50-50.
You think it's... I think it's 70-30 that we get there.
Well, What I was going to go on to say is,
we're away in our first game.
Away at Denmark, yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get beat there. And I'll tell you what will happen. But Greece will beat Belarus.
But Ewan, you didn't think we would qualify from the group in the last Euros either. You didn't
I thought we had a great chance because you're top two.
Yeah.
Yeah, top two. It was an easier group. This is a far different, more difficult group.
Spain in our group, who went on to win the Euros.
Yeah, but everyone expected Spain to go and demolish everybody, which they ultimately did.
Yeah.
Right? And we got lucky because they disrespected us and made loads of changes and played young guys and all sorts. Yeah, did we deserve to win it? Probably not in the night, but we won it brilliant and we celebrated like we won the World Cup. But ultimately, Stephen, we were pretty poor in that group. We're shite in Norway. Lucky to get away with a 2-1 win.
It's mad we won.
I know.
We qualified.
But that's what I'm saying. We have to look at the bigger picture. Is Steve Clark taking us as far as we can go?
But like, you're
do you think Steve Clark is taking?
You're so selective with stuff like this.
You are being selective
because
if I look at the bigger picture, you're blinkered.
No, I'm not.
You are.
No, I'll tell you just now. You're just
a Steve Clark lover boy.
we're saying just now that we're lucky to win in Norway and we're lucky to beat Spain. Yeah, we probably did carry a bit of luck, but we were lucky to beat France when James McFadden scored. We had one shot on goal and scored, and it was a screamer from 40 yards.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
It was more difficult. We had more difficult games back then. We were playing Italy in the same group.
Yeah, and we lost both games.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, Stephen, but we're there or there's about, and we were competitive.
What do we get for there's or there's about? Would you rather be competitive and not qualify or be lucky and qualify? I'd rather be lucky and qualify.
Listen, you have your opinion. You're a Steve Clark lover. I've never really been the biggest fan of Steve Clark.
I'm not.
I think he's taken his group as far as it can go.
I think you're overreacting. Right. Because it was really poor last night. It was really poor.
Okay.
But I think Greece are a decent side. And hopefully he's already come out and said, well, listen, I probably would have done things a wee bit differently, or words to that effect.
Wait, Sweaty Octopus.
Yes.
What's the time and the date just now, please, mate?
The time and the day is the 24th of March, 11:49. And do you need the year?
No. Well, give me the year.
2025.
Thank you. Under Steve Clark, Scotland will not qualify for the World Cup, right? That's what I believe. So watched Denmark last night against Portugal. Really good side, some really good young players. Having watched Greece batter us for a half and 90 minutes, I don't see us. I think we'll finish third in that group. However, if we were to make a change in management, I think we could have a great chance of qualifying for the World Cup.
And who is that man?
That's not my job.
What a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out.
It is a cop-out.
It really isn't. I'd get Derek McInnes, personally.
Derek McInnes?
Yeah.
Kilmarnock supporters don't even want Derek McInnes at the
good,
moment.
Good, I'll have him at Scotland.
Kilmarnock are 10th in the Premiership at the moment.
Yeah, and can I remind you that Vincent Kompany relegated Burnley, but he doesn't agree to win the league, and he might win the Champions League.
He's not going to win the Champions League, but...
No, I'm just saying, but he could. It doesn't make you a bad manager because you're having a bad season. It doesn't make you a bad manager.
You've said before that...
It doesn't make you a bad manager.
That Derek McInnes is a bottle merchant because he wouldn't take the Rangers job, but you think he's... got the ball to take the Scotland job.
Oh, aye. I think he'd do a good job at Scotland.
But also, Derek McInnes is a really pragmatic manager. I don't understand, like... I like Derek McInnes, but I think you're replacing a like for like.
I would take McInnes. My first choice would be Moyes, but he's not going to take because he's at Everton.
David Moyes, obviously known for his free-flowing attacking football as well.
That boat has sailed with Moyes. He's going to
like
be...
I like David Moyes, but you're...
We would have got Moyes after the Euros had we done what we should have done and sacked Clark after that debacle in Germany.
How do you know that?
An embarrassment. See, how many international managers lost their job after a shit show in Europe? Yeah, we kept ours. We kept ours. Why?
We kept ours.
Why do we keep ours?
And then you praised them.
Yeah, because I could see there was an improvement in the team, but it's just all going tits up, isn't it? Can I just remind you of Greece, right? This team that pumped us last night, who we think we're going to beat to get to the World Cup. They drew with France. They beat Kazakhstan 5-0. They beat Finland 3-0. They beat Ireland in Dublin. They beat England at Wembley. They beat Ireland another time in Greece. They beat Finland again. They beat Scotland 3-0. This is a really, really good side. If we think under Steve Clark that we're going to get to the World Cup, then we're in for a shock.
We're more likely
not to be there than we are. I'm just being realistic. That's the way I look at it.
You're entitled to your opinion.
You think we're getting the World Cup? I don't.
I think we've got a chance of getting to the World Cup. I think you're completely writing us off.
Mate, there's a chance I could go with Margot Robbie.
No, I don't think there is. Scotland beat Croatia. Scotland beat Poland away from home.
I'm a good looking guy and I've got chat.
Scotland drew with Portugal. You know, like, so
give me an opportunity and I think I could turn Margot Robbie.
So are you saying right now Scotland are not going to the World Cup?
I don't think we will under Steve Clarke, no.
Okay, right, fine.
Unfortunately, I don't see it happening. If it was the Euros, because there's 14 ways to get into the Euros, an easy way to get into the Euros, he probably would do it.
Well, the next one we will qualify for because we're hosting it.
So. Yeah.
So.
And hopefully we'll have a new manager by then that might give us a chance of getting out the groups.
I think it would be, if there was somebody out there that I thought, you know.
McInnes.
I don't think McInnes is a step up than Clarke.
McInnes.
I just don't think that's the right move.
Well, who would you have? Would you go for someone outside of Scotland?
Yeah, probably.
Would you?
Well, look what Greece have done.
Jovanovic, brilliant.
Yeah. I've always said that.
Do you know what I loved about Jovanovic? Now I'm going to praise Greece here.
I thought Greece were great.
Right, but the game in Athens, they were putting a lot of cross balls in, and that was food and drink. No. What's it called? Is that food and drink?
Meat and two veg.
Whatever.
Yeah.
For Hanley and for Suter, they were just heading everything away. They didn't put one cross in, it was cutbacks. The manager had done his homework and went, don't be putting the balls in the box like that. Get to the byline, cut it back. And there was a line of players always waiting for the cutback. And at no point did we stop that. At no point did Steve Clarke notice and identify that they had changed their approach in putting cross balls in. Scotland were going so deep and were running off, and the Greece players were standing off on the edge of the box. How many chances did they create like that? And at no point did we stop it. No point did we stop it.
Do you think Steve Clarke was setting them out? Set the players up to say, oh, just give them loads of space, actually.
But he didn't do anything to stop it.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Well, you're
telling me if you look at those goals, Steve Clarke's not going, oh, actually, Andy Robertson should have been 10 yards closer to the boy who wrapped it in the top corner. Of course he is. That's a player problem.
All the players were on the edge of the box and they played it perfectly. They realised the mistakes they made in Athens and they changed it. We did bugger all.
We did
bugger all.
But as you've just said, Steve Clarke came out after the game and said, yeah, I got a few things wrong.
A few things, but he didn't even change it in the game. Well, he should have made changes at halftime, and he didn't he?
I mean, I think he made changes in the 50th minute.
Doesn't matter because that was 3-0 down. It's 3-0 down then.
Well, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But I
changes were should have been done at halftime. Come out with intent and showed intent. He just stuck to the same pitch.
Listen.
Anyway. Well, we'll never agree. And I hope I'm proved wrong. I'd love to go to America.
I think we've got a decent chance. Because you didn't let me finish my point. The reason I think we've got a decent chance is I think Greece and Denmark will take points off each other as well. And that gives us an... Because I don't think there's much between us.
Between the three of us?
I don't.
So you think it'll be tight?
Yeah, I think it'll be really tight.
Okay.
And I think our home form is obviously... Our home matches are going to be absolutely crucial.
Weirdly, I actually think now that Greece are probably favourites to win the group.
Well, Greece are a third seed, remember? Like, Greece were the third seed.
But I think they're favourites to win the group. I think they're that good. When you look at their results, I watched that game at Wembley. They were outstanding at Wembley. Beat England 2-1 at Wembley.
Yeah, I know.
With Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane and et al. And
I would say is Lee Carsley was in charge, and he basically, what he did was, he did what all the pundits were asking for. i.e. playing all of their good players all at once, and they were a fucking shambles.
Yes.
So, you know.
But still, it was a very good result. And the only reason that Greece were playing that playoff game against us is because they lost out in the head-to-head to England.
Yeah. But the only reason we were playing that game as well is because we beat Poland away from home. Otherwise, we would have been automatically relegated.
Correct.
So, like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we ended up where we probably deserved to be anyway.
Aye. And I actually think it's probably more... I don't think we're good enough to be in Group A. I don't think we're that good.
No.
I think Group B is probably our level.
Yes, I agree.
And we'll win more matches that way.
Correct. Build up confidence.
Because also, what you've got to remember is, we were kind of shafted a wee bit in terms of the World Cup seeding because we'd lost so many matches in Group A.
Yeah.
It meant that our seeding was absolutely knackered by the time it came to...
Came to it, yeah.
Whereas you had other teams who were in lower pots than us.
We're
getting a better seeding.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We were shafted.
But...
I'll give you that.
Anyway.
Anyway. More to Scotland.
Let's move on to the Championship. Another big weekend for Falkirk, beating Airdrie by 2-0, and Ayr United dropping points as well. They needed a last gasp equaliser at home to Hamilton to scramble a point. And that means Falkirk are 11 points clear.
11!
They are...
11!
11!
11!
11!
11!
Livingston tomorrow night.
11!
11!
I think if Falkirk win
11!
That, 11! Game over. This is really annoying.
11!
Are you going to the game tomorrow night, John?
I'm not. I'm at a gig tomorrow night.
11!
It's a huge game.
11!
You know me, I'm so pragmatic, and I'm just like, I can't contemplate us actually winning the league. But in saying that, if we were to get a point at Livingston on Tuesday, I would have to say... Even Falkirk couldn't fuck that up, could they?
Nah. John, Sweaty Octopus, we did the maths on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see Ayr or Livingston going, winning all their games between now and the end of the season? They won't.
The reason I don't see it, because Ayr and Livingston have got to, both games at East End Park, Stephen, Ayr and Livingston have both got to go to East End Park. Am I right in saying that?
No. Ayr is Somerset.
Ayr Somerset, but Livingston have got to go to East End Park, and I think that's a couple of weeks away. And I think with the new manager bounce that Neil Lennon's Dunfermline Athletic will have, I think they will probably take points off of both of them, and they've still to face each other as well. So
they can only get a maximum of 73 points.
Yes, yeah. We've three more wins. Three more wins, and we've got three home games.
Well,
so
no, to be fair, Livingston can get 76.
Oh, they've got the game in hand if they win on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, no, their game in hand's against Dunfermline actually. So.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, but yeah, I just can't see how anybody is going to catch Falkirk now. I mean, it's there, mate.
76.
Sweaty Octopus, go and do me a favour.
Uh-huh.
Go and stick your tongue out.
Why am I sticking my tongue out?
Just do it.
No.
Can you taste it?
No.
Can you taste the title?
No.
Can you taste the big time?
You're really odd.
11!
11!
So I think...
what is it, Sweaty Octopus?
11!
11! It's 11!
This is really annoying.
11! Could be 14 on Tuesday!
Nobody wants to listen to this.
11! I might go along with the game on Tuesday.
All right.
Are you gone, John?
I'm not.
Yeah, I literally just asked him.
Yes, I'm going to a gig on Tuesday night, but I will have Falkirk TV up on my phone.
You're not going to see Falkirk versus Livingston?
No, I can't.
What gig are you going to?
I'm going to see a band called Public Service Broadcasting.
Where are they playing?
Usher Hall in Edinburgh.
Fuck, you're...
I didn't realise the game got moved. I've already bought tickets.
But if you have a choice between the two, you're on the verge of winning a title... And you could actually stick the final nail in the coffin of your big rival after everything that's been going on between you two teams over the course of the season. You'd rather go and see some shite at the Usher
they're
Hall.
Very good.
I've never heard of them. You heard of them?
Never heard of them.
No, and you'd rather do that.
That doesn't mean they're not shy, though.
I might go there because there's going to be fucking plenty of seats to go and see that
game. There will certainly be lots of seats available.
How many Falkirk fans you taking?
I think on Tuesday we'll probably take... 1,500, maybe 2,000.
Yeah, you'll get 2,000 plus easy there, I think. Yeah. Tuesday night just across the motorway? Nah, easy enough. Easy peasy.
11 points clear for Falkirk. Morton, beat Queen's Park by 2-1.
What's wrong with your throat?
I've just got a bit of cold, to be honest with you. Right. I'm sorry.
It's because you're shouting yesterday at the Scotland fans.
Not really, to be honest. 5 points behind Morton, Partick Thistle, after Partick Thistle drew with Raith Rovers in possibly one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life on Friday night. But Morton do have a game in hand. If they win that, they'll just be 2 points behind Partick Thistle.
Partick Thistle are getting a playoff spot. Okay. I think that Brian Graham and Mark Wilson have done a really good job there.
I think they're unbeaten, are they not? They are unbeaten in five.
And they've stabilised them. They're defensively solid. And I think they've done a really good job. And here's you'll know this better than me, Sweaty Octopus, because you work with Mark Wilson on Super Scoreboard. I only speak to him every now and then. Are you hearing any whispers about them getting the job full time?
Well, Partick Thistle are employing a sporting director. I believe they're down to their last five candidates. I think actually Ian McCall is one of the favourites to take the sporting director job. So what they'll do is obviously they'll get the sporting director in before making the managerial appointments. But five games unbeaten for Mark and Brian is pretty good.
That's brilliant. No, and I think they've looked a lot more solid as well defensively than they have been. And I think they will get in the playoffs. And because they've got a wee bit of momentum, you wouldn't rule them out getting to the final of the playoffs.
I think
Ayr are gone.
I think Ayr are heads gone.
Yeah.
I think Livingston will end up finishing second, and I don't see any of them getting promoted, to be perfectly honest with you.
in the playoff.
Do you not give Livingston a wee chance, possibly, if it was against... Who would it be? Dundee just now? No, I wouldn't give them a chance against Dundee.
No, I don't think they're going up.
Kilmarnock, you wouldn't give them a chance against Kilmarnock either. So you would say, it doesn't matter who it is, they're not going to go up?
No, right. I don't think they're
going up. I think you're probably right, actually.
And obviously, Neil Lennon is now the Dunfermline manager.
That's brilliant.
In a very bizarre twist of events.
But I'm going to ask you this as a Dunfermline fan. When I heard that news and you put it in the WhatsApp group chat when I was abroad, mm-hmm. The first thing I said, oh, brilliant. And the reason I think it's brilliant is because you're looking at Dunfermline, who are ninth in the championship. You've got new owners. That tells me your owners mean business. If I'm a Dunfermline fan, whether you agree with the appointment or not, what it says to me is that your owners have got a wee bit of money and they're going to give it a shot. That, for me, is exciting.
Hmm.
If I'm a Dunfermline, that's the way I would look at it, whether you think it's a good appointment
it's
or not.
7 games to go. He's on a big bonus for keeping us up, I believe. And if he keeps us up, it's a 3-year contract that's agreed.
So my question and the follow-up to that is this. There's a lot of players at Dunfermline who are out of contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in his best interest because of what he's going to get to keep you up. But there's players there who know they're not going to be there next season who went, fuck you.
Yeah.
They could, do you know what I mean by that?
I think, I'm hoping that he can just squeeze an extra 10% out of them.
Say to them, put yourself in a shot window.
Yeah. Or, you know, you're playing for your future or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that probably 3 wins might be enough.
Yeah. But you could also drag Hamilton into it as well.
And Queen's Park.
Queen's Park as well, they're having a shit time of it.
So Queen's Park obviously still without a manager as well. And let me just check their...
are they not like, they're 33 points?
So they play in the Challenge Cup final at the weekend, so they've not got a game. Then they play Airdrie. Then they're away to Livingston.
Oh.
Then they play Dunfermline. Then they play Hamilton.
Oh, huge.
So I don't think Queen's Park are quite out of this yet.
So where do you play Queen's Park, Dunfermline?
It's at Hampden.
Big game.
Huge game, yeah. Huge. Absolutely. So I don't think Queen's Park are quite out of this yet.
No, they're not. Definitely not.
And obviously Hamilton losing a very, very late goal at Ayr on Saturday. Had they got 3 points, that would have been massive for them. But as it stands, they're 2 points in front of Dunfermline. Dunfermline do have a game in hand.
So if Dunfermline win their game in hand, they go above Hamilton.
Yeah.
And they're out of the relegation shite.
Yeah.
And then what would that put Dunfermline to Queen's Park?
3 points.
If they win their game in hand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. Queen's Park are definitely in the shit.
So, yeah. I don't think Queen's Park are quite out of this yet. But, I mean, I think maybe Queen's Park will be looking at it thinking 2 wins.
2 wins, aye.
That'll be enough.
Mm-hmm.
But their next run of games is, you know, it's all teams in and around them and Livingston.
Yeah.
Away. And
what's your next game?
Ayr United on Saturday.
Where?
At Ayr.
Lennon versus Brown.
Yeah.
I've just put a camera on those two.
I think... you know, obviously, he'll be taking his first training session. They've probably finished his first training session. Yep. So, interesting to see how that has gone.
Have you met him yet? Have you done an interview?
No, there's a press conference tomorrow.
Okay. You going along?
No, because it's at 1 o'clock.
Ah.
So, yeah, it's Ayr, then it's Livingston. You know, two obviously tough games. But then after that, I think...
you've got a run of games that you could...
We've got a decent run of games. So... Listen, I just hope we can do enough just to stay up. And, you know, it's as you said, it's showing ambition.
Uh-huh.
I actually mentioned Neil Lennon to a couple of my mates earlier on last week in terms of, you know, a potential replacement for Tidzer. And they were like, oh, there's no chance that Neil Lennon will be coming to Dunfermline. Like, we're ninth in the championship. But that just shows you the ambition that the board have got.
That's why you should be excited, whether you agree with the appointment or not, whether you think it's a circus or whether or not it's going to happen or whether it's going to make a huge difference, which I think it will. And is it also, did I not read somewhere that he's not coming in as head coach, he's a manager of the club?
Yeah, I think that's interesting as well. So the last few sort of people who have been in charge have been head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Lennon's the manager.
Right, so he's going to get the final say in everything then.
I think
he's going to run it. That's what you want. Somebody with his experience, his contacts, keep them up, got a wee bit of money to spend. You'll have a chance next year with Lennon. He knows how to get out of that league.
Yeah,
and he's
it with Hibs.
And his contacts are, I think, will be very, very good.
So we'll just need to wait and see. I do think, like, on the face of it, it's, you know, it's a pretty staggering appointment given where we are.
Totally.
And, you know, that's the thing. Like, I don't think Neil Lennon is an elite manager. Like, I don't think he's, like, Brendan Rodgers, for example.
He's decent.
But I think Neil Lennon is a better manager than what's around him in the Championship. And at this stage, that's all we need.
Neil Lennon's the best manager in the Championship just now for me.
Well, he's certainly got...
What a lot of nonsense. John,
Did you hear something there?
Do you think Neil Lennon is better than John McGlynn?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I recall...
Have you seen his managerial record recently, Ewan? It's not brilliant.
I think I remember Lennon winning a treble. Did he not win a treble with Celtic?
I believe so.
With Celtic. Yeah. We'll see how he does it.
Did he not also do quite well in like Europe with Celtic with some really good results and stuff?
Beat Barcelona,
yeah. Anyway, just that, beating Barcelona people like that. But it's fine, okay. Yeah. He's the best manager in that league. He's gone very quiet. When I remind him of what he did at Celtic, he's went very quiet. He's just judging on him of what happened at Bolton.
I think what he did at Hibs as well.
Oh, like, Hibs was outstanding.
He won the Championship and then finished fourth in his first season.
He was brilliant. And the football they were playing was great.
Was it fourth or third?
They finished fourth.
I think they were only 2 points or something off second.
Yeah.
It was really tight.
Yeah. They were very good. Very good. They were really tough to beat at Easter Road as well. So, yeah, good manager. Good appointment.
Yeah, so hopefully it works out. In League One, Arbroath dropping points, but Coven Stenhousemuir dropping points as well. So it's again, as you were, Arbroath 5 points clear at the top, ahead of Cove and Stenhousemuir at the bottom. Inverness picking up a point, so that nudges them just a wee bit further ahead of Annan, who lost 3-1 at Montrose on Saturday, and Dumbarton drew with Queen of the South. Dumbarton, I mean, surely, yeah, that, I mean, Dumbarton are, that's Dumbarton relegated.
Oh, they're gone.
I mean, I know, but like mathematically.
Yeah.
So they can only get 28 points and Annan are on 30. So
Dumbarton done.
Playing League Two football next season. Big day on Saturday in League Two because East Fife got hammered 5-2 by Edinburgh City, and Peterhead scored a very late winner at Stirling Albion to win 2-1. So Peterhead are 3 points clear at the top of the table. Edinburgh City remain in third. They're actually only 4 points behind East Fife. I didn't realise it was that tight. Elgin winning on Saturday 2-1 against Spartans. That means they are into the final playoff spot. And at the bottom, Forfar beat Stranraer by a goal to nil, and Bonnyrigg lost 3-1 to Clyde, which means Bonnyrigg back to the bottom of the table. They're 2 points adrift. Forfar in ninth. And safety, there we are. Okay, remember, you can get in touch anytime at Big Football Scott. Clyde One Super Scoreboard on every single night this week from 6 o'clock. Gordon Duncan and the team, and we are back this coming Saturday, Big Scottish Football Show from 2 o'clock. Fourth one, TFM, MFR, North Sound One. We'll be joined by Beth Wallace and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. This is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. The winner takes it all. And it's time for this.
Beside the victory, that's her destiny.
Okay.
I don't know why I just thought of it. A player that was outstanding last night plays in our league. Did you watch the game? Belgium beating Ukraine.
Oh, Raskan.
Raskan was outstanding.
He loved Raskan. Show. You're a Raskan lover boy.
I've said it for a while now. I think he's one of the best midfielders in Scotland. That boy was superb last night. He ran the show and he got a standing ovation when he got substituted at 3-0. He was very good. Just wanted to point that out. I don't know why I thought of that there, but I just think...
It's because you hadn't spoken about Rangers in a wee bit. the winner takes it all. One of us will go into the cone of silence first, and then we will have to decide either or. What is the subject this week, producer John?
Well, after the defeat to Greece last night, I thought we'd do the kind of worst Scotland results in our lifetime, as decided by you, pair.
All right, okay.
There's plenty to choose from.
Yeah, there is actually. When I was looking through the list, it was hard to work out what ones I should put in. But yes, Ewan, we'll put you in the cone of silence first since you missed last week.
Okay.
So we'll disappear you into the cone of silence. Stephen, you can say whatever you want about Ewan at this point because he can't hear you.
Switch his mic off.
Right, his mic's going off as well. Right, Stephen, so as I say, just you.
Jerry's on the phone.
Let me know.
Somebody's speaking to Jerry.
Right. Let me know what you think the worst results. And remember, if you end up on the same result at the end, you get two questions on the mass football. That
yes,
is the new ruling.
Right.
Okay then, Stephen. So are you ready for winner takes it all? The worst results in Scotland's history in our lifetime. Here we go. Right, so we'll start off with last night and the 3-0 defeat to Greece in the Nations League. But was the 6-0 defeat to Holland in the 2003 Euro qualifier worse?
Yes.
6-0 Holland stays on.
Yep.
1-0 against Costa Rica in the 1990 World Cup. Probably you were too young for that.
Aye, I was one.
Yeah.
but I think Ewan will say yes, so I'll go for Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, okay. The defeat to Wales in the 2013 World Cup qualifier, 2-1 at Hampden.
Nah, Costa Rica.
Costa Rica stays on. The 2-2 draw with the Faroe Islands in the 2002 Euro qualifier.
Yeah, that was terrible as well. Stevie Crawford came on at halftime and changed the game. So I'll go for that because I think he'll go for that as well because he hates Bertie Vokes. So
that
I'll go
is
for
true. Faroes. Okay, and finally, the last result. The 3-0 defeat to Kazakhstan in the 2019 for the Euro qualifiers.
So Ewan loves Alex McLeish, so I don't think he's going to go for that. So I'm going to stick with the Faroes because I want an extra question on the Masked Footballer.
Well, there we go. And okay. That is your time up. Let's bring Ewan back in. Ewan.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, I had to play tactically there, actually.
What do you mean?
Remember, because if you end up on the same result here, Ewan,
yeah,
you're going to get an extra question on the Masked Footballer.
All right.
That's the new rules.
Oh, good. I like that.
So there we go. Okay. Right, so let's put Stephen into the cone of silence. And that means you can say whatever you want about Stephen now, Ewan.
Nah, I don't want to say anything, but I feel sorry for him. He's a wee bit ill.
He is a wee bit ill, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a wee sore throat there.
I know, wee soul.
Poor wee soul.
Poor wee soul. Right, Ewan, okay, the worst results in Scotland, probably in our lifetime, I would say, and you've got, if you end up in the same one as Stephen at the end, you'll get an extra question in the Masked Football. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. Right, we'll start off with last night's 3-0 defeat to Greece in the Nations League, but is the 6-0 defeat to Holland in the 2003 Euro qualifier worse?
Holland.
Right. 1990 World Cup, let's take you back there. And the 1-0 defeat to Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
The defeat to Wales at Hampden in the 2013 World Cup qualifiers.
Costa Rica.
The 2-2 draw with the Faroe Islands in 2002.
That was under votes. And Barry Ferguson and Paul Lambert told Bertie Vokes to sit down at half time and they took the team. Oh, what was that again, mate? Give me those two again.
Right, so you've got, you're on Costa Rica, or you've got the 1-0 defeat to Costa Rica in the World Cup, or the 2-each draw with the Faroe Islands.
I'm going to go with Costa Rica.
Costa Rica stays on. And finally, the 3-0 defeat to Kazakhstan in 2019 as part of the Euro qualifiers.
Alex. I was under McLeish.
Under McLeish.
Under that, on that fake pitch.
Yep.
Costa Rica.
Costa Rica stays on. Right, okay, let's bring Stephen back in. Wait till the bedroom.
There we go.
Right, Stephen, you can hear us now, can't you?
Yeah.
Right.
That was a great song, by the way.
Much fun.
I'm out of touch.
That's brilliant. That's Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates, aye.
Don't they hate each other, Hall & Oates?
They do.
Aye. They, yeah.
And who sampled that again in the noughties?
It was United Nations.
Yeah, it was United Nations. That was United Nations, Kofi Annan.
United Nations.
Yeah. Right, okay.
Right, okie dokie. Right, so it was the worst now, Scotland results in our history.
As people listening will have heard by now, I went tactically...
What, thinking what I might do?
Yeah.
I like that.
Let's see if it works.
Working, trying to get into Ewan's head, right? So we started off with...
A scary place.
Aye. We started off with the 3-0 defeat to Greece last night, and then it was the 6-0 defeat to Holland. 1-2-3.
Holland.
There we go. Then we moved on to Costa Rica and the defeat in the 1990 World Cup. 1-2-3.
Costa Rica.
Then it was the defeat to Wales at Hampden in 2013. 1-2-3.
Costa Rica.
Then we got to the 2-2 draw with the Faroe Islands. That was in 2002. 1-2-3.
Costa Rica.
You're doing so well.
I went with Costa Rica. It was the World Cup in the first game.
I went with Faroe Islands because you hated Bertie Vokes. And we drew 2-2 with the Faroe Islands. So we're 2-0 done at half-time.
We're 2-0 done at half-time. And
brought in Stevie Crawford at half-time, changed the game.
Yeah, but I also know as well, because I was quite close to some of the players in there, Paul Lambert and Barry Ferguson told Vokes to sit down, keep your mouth shut, and they took the team talk at half-time. And it was them that forced the changes. And that's why we got to 2-2. And then when I got to the airport... Have I told this story before? Am I allowed to? I can tell it. So we drew 2-2. And obviously at that time, Bertie Votes was under a lot of pressure because we'd been shite under Votes. And I was at the airport for the team arriving back from that 2-2 draw against Faroes, a huge embarrassment. And I was with Davey Proven, who was at Sky at the time. And we'd come up with a plan where we would sort of like set up like a mini wall of cameras and wires and us, so we could get Bertie Votes and kind of corner him and get his thoughts and opinions on what had just happened. So we'd planned it out. Came through the doors at Glasgow Airport. Me and Davey Proven and the cameraman and other people made our move. And there's actually some famous pictures. If you Google it, you'll see pictures of me, because the press are all there, and it's me with a microphone in Bertie Vogt's face. Bertie doesn't say anything. He actually blanks us all. We get round him, but he blanks and just pushes right through us. I then approached David Taylor, who at the time was the SFA chief executive. And there's obviously Davey Proven there with the camera crews, STV and all that stuff. And I went and approached David Taylor for his thoughts on Bertie Vogt's and his future after the embarrassment of drawing 2-2 with the Faroe Islands. And David Taylor, again, blanks me, but I can see he's fucking fuming. He's fuming at some of the questions I was throwing at him at Glasgow Airport at 10:30 at night. That was on the Saturday. On the Monday, a letter arrives at Real Radio, where I was working, complaining about me.
This is the Real Football Phone-In with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
And I was accused of harassment because he also had his family there. I didn't know his family were there. I didn't see his family. But thankfully, and I'll always be indebted to Davey Proven, they had the footage because they filmed everything.
Yeah.
There was no sign of his family anywhere near us. And it just went away.
So you weren't banned?
No, no. I was banned for other reasons. I was banned from Hampden for qualifiers.
We've not won this particular round of winner takes all.
No, but the reason I was telling, the reason I didn't choose the Faroe Islands and is because Barry Ferguson and Paul Lambert changed that game. It had nothing to do with Votes,
Stevie,
and I hated Votes.
Stevie Crawford.
Well, you might get your if you end up in the same one, you'll get your extra question here.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
Okay. That's true.
So,
go.
Right, so finally, it was the Faroe Islands, and then that went up against the 3-0 defeat to Kazakhstan in 2019. 1, 2, 3.
Costa Rica. But if you, those of you who listened, the one I was swithering with was Costa Rica and the Faroe Islands.
Yeah.
That was the longest one I spent on.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That's a shame. So no extra question on the Mass Football.
Can we not just get an extra question because no. It's 11?
It is 11.
11!
It is 11.
11!
11!
Oh. Can we just get just, it for that?
Do you know, it's 39 mass- between Falkirk and Dunfermline now. 39 like, points.
John, I really don't care. I really don't care.
You cheer up, mate.
I know, Stephen.
Man, come on, cheer up.
What do you mean?
He's ill, though.
11!
A wee soul.
Right, do the mass singer.
Yeah. Right. How did you play this last week when Sweaty Octopus was sat where I am? How did you play this
I
game?
I got two questions last week.
Oh, did you? And what did we get to?
Can't remember. No, we found out that they hadn't won in any major competitions in Scotland.
Okay.
And
so, like, no leagues, no cups, no hand.
And they never played with either Celtic or Rangers.
Oh.
So this person's also never played at a major international tournament. They're retired. It's not Peter Lovenkranz. And they have been capped by a European team, but not Scotland.
Is it one of the Edinburgh teams? I couldn't narrow it down to find that out. That's a good question. It's not Celtic and Rangers, and they've got an international cap. They're more likely. Oh, wait. Is it? Does that fit?
No. Because Russell Latapé played with Trinidad and Tobago, which is not in Europe.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. I would, listen, if it's an international player. Hibs or Hearts, possibly.
Okay.
If it's not Celtic Rangers, and if it's Celtic, then it narrows it right down. If right, it's one of those two clubs.
I mean, it easily could be like Aberdeen or Dundee United.
What I'm saying is if it is Hibs or Hearts, then brilliant. If it's Hibs or Hearts, then that's brilliant.
Right, so you want to go for that?
For the big Edinburgh 2.
Okay, mass footballer, have you played with either side of the Edinburgh divide, Hibs or Hearts?
Aye.
Right. Okay. Get in! That's a big move!
That's a big move.
That's huge.
I feel like we're getting somewhere.
That's massive.
Right.
It's huge. Right, brilliant. Any ideas with the clues that we've got? Remind people of the clues.
So they are an international player. They have been capped by a European team, mm-hmm. not Scotland, and it's not Peter Lovenkranz. They've never played at an international tournament. They're no longer playing. And they haven't won any major competitions in Scotland. So you can rule out the 2016... Hibs, yeah, cut Hearts, one inside. 2012,
cut one inside. 2006.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah. I don't know. Hibs won the League Cup as well.
They did against Livingston.
Kilmarnock.
They lost Livingston 2-0.
So you can rule out all of those teams. So
right,
there
that's
you are.
Good. We're in a good place like this.
Right, let's move on to the quiz then. Let's get it wrapped up. Well, Ewan, honestly, you'd have hated it last week. Because the questions were solid.
I got your point, no, Ewan.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I kind of default got the point myself as well earlier when I said the answer was 7.
Yeah. I mean, okay. You could have just watched it.
You could have said, thanks, John. Thank you for getting me a point.
By the way, we've got to this point in the podcast. John, were you watching the game last night?
Yeah.
You weren't controlling the BBC commentary for it last night.
The sound issues or anything, because a lot of people are tweeting us going, is a sweaty octopus in charge of the BBC tonight?
Yeah,
How dare you?
Are you moonlighting at the BBC?
How dare you? I would have done a better job than they did last. My favourite bit, I think, was when... Who was it? It was Steve. Someone said Margaret randomly. I was thinking it was John and someone. So you just heard him saying, Margaret, I've not got my ears in. Or something like that.
It was Stephen Thompson going, I've not got my ears in. I can't hear anything. The reference called Margaret.
Margaret is a vase.
There was also
an odd
a bit
name in this day and age.
Obviously, I was at the game, so I didn't see any of the coverage, but I saw the tweets and everything. And, you know, nightmare. On Thursday, there was also the bit where Stephen Thompson and James McFadden
stood there.
They were like, are we ready? Are we good? That's Bobby Madden. I'll tell you something. That was pre-recorded.
So
it obviously made Stephen Thompson and James McFadden look like absolute tits. But somebody hadn't edited that properly.
and just played it
from
the moment they pressed record on it.
Yeah.
That does sound like something I would do.
Somebody said to me, right, I'm not going to name names because I have people that I know and I have fingers in mini pies. But the people who are in charge of such things are pretty shit at what they do. And they're not qualified to do what they do or are expected to do, which is why you get so many fucking mess ups.
That's why I assumed it was John.
Right. BBC have asked for my number.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been nice knowing you on the podcast.
I'm going to ante now, everyone.
Okay, right. Question number one. Let's get going.
Right, okay. Question number one on the Big Shootout quiz. Who was the last Premiership manager to be sacked? Who was the last Scottish Premiership manager to be sacked? Write down your answer, you and Cameron and Steve Mel.
He has to be Scottish?
No. Who was the last Scottish Premiership manager to be sacked?
Who would that be? Oh, I did some. Oh, how long have I got?
You got time.
That's between two.
Right, you got an answer?
I've got an answer.
All right, okay, cool.
You got an answer?
Yeah.
Right. What's your answer, Stephen?
Clement. Philip Clement.
I went Kettlewell.
That's the two I was between.
One of us right?
One of these is right, but I'm going to have to check my facts now because there wasn't a lot between it, but Stephen...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was it Clement before... Clement was before Kettle. Are you sure about that?
I would also argue...
Are you sure about that?
I would also argue...
The actual facts.
Kettlewell resigned. He didn't get sacked.
There is that as well.
No, right, now we're splitting hairs.
Right, but
I don't give a fuck what it is.
Google that. Kettlewell, 27th of January, and then Clement was after that.
Yeah, Clement was after
when
that.
When was that after that?
It was just start of March, was it not?
Oh, it was after that. You're right, because Ferguson's been in charge, what, four or five games or something?
Yeah.
Right, okay, fair enough.
So, 1-0 to you.
When did someone get sacked? Were you checking that?
Yeah, I'm just checking.
It was in the bed, wasn't it?
He was sacked on the 23rd of February, so it was nearly a month later.
Exactly.
Okay, right. Exactly. Anyway, fair enough. Right, okay. I'm not going to argue that one.
Right, next question.
Well, you can't because it's factually correct.
Why are you fucking pumping in? Pumping in?
Pumping in?
Question two.
Right, question two. Right. What is Dumbarton's nickname? Relegated. First team in the UK to be relegated at the weekend, but what is their nickname? Poor Dumbarton.
Should I know this?
Yeah, I mean, Dumbarton are a pretty famous Scottish football team.
What's their nickname?
Uh-huh.
Have you got an answer?
Yeah.
Dumbarton. What is their nickname?
It used to be one of my favourite away days when Dunfermline were sort of skirting about League One.
It's a good wee away day.
It is a good away day. There's two bowling clubs that are very close to the ground.
Scotland's the trainer all the time.
Remember you've got your phone a friend option as well.
So I have. No, I'm not going to use it here.
Do you know any Dumbarton supporters?
I was going to ask
Mehmet. Obviously, River City films in Dumbarton, so all your River City contacts.
Mehmet, my hairdresser, I wonder if he would know.
Do you have a big football fan?
I've got an answer.
Right, okay.
Okay, well,
you go
first then.
The Rock.
The Rock. You think... I can see where you've went.
I can see
where
you've gone now.
Stephen, what's the right answer?
The right answer is the Suns.
That's what it is. See, now that you've said it, I get it.
Yeah, the Sons of the Rock, I believe. That's good.
Well
from.
Done. Nah, fair enough. Yeah.
You're
fair
very
enough.
Zen today, Hugh.
Nah, Jambo's zen.
They're not fucking daft questions that they usually are. I've got nothing to complain about.
I mean, you could have complained about that one because that would fall under lower league shite.
No,
for
no,
you.
No. That, but I should. I know it now. I do know that.
Okay.
But anyway,
question number three.
It's everyone's favourite, but I've not done the Kenny Miller one because there was complaints about the Kenny Miller one from you. And so we're going to do a Say What You Say.
Okay. Right.
What's Kenny Miller?
The six degrees of Kenny
degrees Miller.
Degrees of Kenny
Miller. I like that.
No, didn't work for me.
Oh, for God's sake. Right. So it's a Say What You See. So if you're listening to the podcast version, you won't see this. So Ewan and Stephen will describe what I'm about to put on their screens. Pictures, you've just got to tell me what footballer it is from the picture.
It's the name of a player.
It's the name of a player. Okay. Are you ready?
Do you know what I've noticed about the screen, right, before you change it?
Mm.
Dunfermline are the only team to be on it twice.
Have they put Dunfermline on it twice?
Dunfermline is at the bottom. Uh-huh. It's at the top.
So they are.
I don't think there's any other teams.
We'll have to get that corrected.
Get that changed.
Yeah. Right, you ready for your Say What You See, boys?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Airdrie may be on it twice.
Just time starts now.
There's an actor.
Yeah.
And there's
a white tuxedo.
An actor in a white tuxedo. I know who it is, but I'm not going to name him. Is that a Spanish dish? Oh, no, is it? Is it?
I have no idea what that is.
And there's a bumblebee.
Something bee.
I wouldn't think out loud.
I wouldn't what?
I wouldn't think out loud that.
No, I'm not. Mm. I'm trying to think what that food is in the middle. I know who the actor is on the left. I know who he is.
I've got absolutely no idea. I've got no idea.
Come on, you're usually good at these.
I know. I know the actor. Right, I don't know. So let's see if we can work this out. That's Scott Bakula.
It is Scott Bakula.
The actor.
It is.
Scott Bakula.
What's he in?
He's an actor from...
He was in Star Enterprise, and he was also in Quantum Leap.
He was a big actor in Quantum Leap.
What was his name in Quantum... So you've not got an answer here, Ewan, have you? You've not got an answer.
No, hold on. So it's Scott Bakula, the actor. Uh-huh. So is it the character that he played in Quantum Leap?
Because that's a picture from him in Quantum Leap.
Right, okay.
And what was the name of the character in Quantum Leap that he played?
Shit, I used to remember that. Don't say anything. Don't tell me that yet. The middle thing is food. Is that paella?
It is a curry, but what type of curry is it?
Korma?
No.
A masala?
Oh, I've got it.
Is it a masala?
I've got it.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Is it a masala?
I've got it.
You can't get the point, mind you.
I can't get the point, but I've got it.
Well, no, what's the food? Is it a masala? Is it a curry?
If I say the food, it'll give it away.
But that is a curry.
Yeah.
Is it a name of a curry?
Aye.
Aye.
A dal? Aye. Or something? Dal. Dalby. Dalby?
Yeah.
Something Dalby.
Sam Dalby.
Sam Dalby.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's genius.
There you go.
I like that. Sam Dalby.
Oh, that's annoying.
That's very good.
Oh, well.
See that? If I'd known that was a Dal, yeah. Dalby. Yeah, brilliant. Like that. So where are we sitting? 2-0.
I wouldn't put peas in a Dal.
Nah, neither would I.
I know.
Right. So I'm 2-0.
No, you're 2-0 down now.
You're 2-0 down, yeah.
And this is question four.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to go for top bin here to get to 2-2.
Right, give me my normal question first.
Go with the normal question first.
Right, okay, remember you've got your phone a friend.
I'm going to find somebody's phone.
Right. Right, okay, Stephen, your question is, who was the last sub to come on against Greece in Athens? Who was the last sub to come on against Greece in Athens?
That's a great question.
Got an answer?
Yeah.
There we go. Right.
I believe it was Ryan Porteous.
Get in!
Yes!
Get in!
Max Johnston.
Oh,
came right on in the last couple of minutes.
Right, hold on.
Talking about this. Alan Johnston's son, there can't be many. We've got Lennon Miller, Lee Miller, Alan Johnston, Max Johnston, but there can't be many father-son combinations that have played for Scotland. Fascinating fact.
What's my top bin question
your
about?
Top bin question, as we say, Ewan, we always give you one for your own club.
How's he getting to use his phone a friend on his top bin?
Because I'm allowed. That was the rules.
That's the rules.
That was the rules.
Right, okay, right.
Wait. Before I'm just going through my phone. Hold on. So it's about hearts.
Aye.
Okay, hold on.
Right.
Where is he? I'm trying to find Colin Cameron. Pretty sure I've got his number.
Do you know a coach at like Raith Rovers or something?
Yes, aye.
He might be training.
Oh, what's his name? Beatty. He's married to my pal. Played with Celtic, was at Hearts, striker.
Beatty.
Aye, I've got his number. Where's he?
You'd phone Captain Call again.
Eh?
Call Donaldson. He's a big Hearts supporter.
Oh, so yes! That's a great fuck yes!
Right, are you ready for the question then?
Right, hold on. Yeah, go on while I'm ringing him.
You'll be fed up. It's stalking the Falkirk captain.
Go tell me the question.
Right, okay. Since the turn of the century, which full-time Hearts manager has the best win percentage? Since the turn of the century, which full-time Hearts manager has the best win percentage? Call's not picking up.
Can't make a phone just now.
Oh, fuck, Call.
Well, that's you. Use your phone a friend. So.
No.
No, you've used it.
I'll give him another chance, Stephen.
What do you mean? He's used his phone a friend. He phoned Call Donaldson and didn't answer. That's not my fault.
He never answered.
That's your fault.
I think I might know this, actually. I think I might know this without phone. I'll try to find... Hold on. Okay, I phone Craig Levine. He doesn't like me. Oh, let me phone Naismith. Hold on.
Stephen Naismith?
No, Gary Naismith.
He'll know, no.
He should know, because I think you worked with him. We've worked with him, you know.
Current Stennis Muir manager, Gary Naismith.
Gary, it's Ewan here. How you doing, mate?
Ewan, go and give me 2 minutes, pal, because you call me back in 2 minutes.
All right, bud. Cheers, bye.
Cheers, pal. Cheers.
Bye, mate.
I'm with Stephen. We can't wait 2 minutes.
We can't wait
to call back Gary Naismith.
I'm going to go with... Fuck. I'm going to go...
You need to get this right, otherwise I've won.
Read me the question again.
Ah, Jesus, Ewan.
Who has the highest win percentage of any Hearts manager since the 2000s?
Full-time Hearts manager since the turn of the century.
Right, come on, Ewan. Your time's up.
No, I've got time to think.
No, you don't. That's what the timer's for. You spent it dicking around phoning people.
Because
that's part of the fucking rules.
You give me an answer.
He's a fucking judge and jury.
You give me an answer.
You're just a contestant.
Listen.
You're just a contestant. He fucking makes the rules, not you.
Who's the zen god? You were so zen.
You
and
were
then
jumbo zen.
Because he's fucking putting pressure on me. He's asking you a question. It's not you. He's in charge, not you.
You didn't get this with me last week, by the way.
Listen to him.
Go and listen to the YouTube. Go and read the YouTube comments, Ewan, because you didn't get this with me last week. It was all over the place.
Go and can you tell me the question one more time and
Jesus
I'll give you an
Ewan! Since the turn of the century, which full-time Hearts manager has the best win percentage?
George Burley.
Final answer.
Yes! Don't need your Jonae Smith. Don't need your Carl Donaldson. Don't need your Craig Levine. I got it. I didn't need phone a friend. It's 2-2. We're going to the final question and I'm going to be fucking zen. Shh.
Final question. My buttons aren't working this week. Why is that not working? There we go. Right. Bring that guy for the BBC in next week. Right, okay. Final question for you.
Winner takes it all.
That's the name of another feature. This is the big show.
Wait. Just be quiet for a second. Let me just get into my zone. All
right,
I'm ready.
Right, okay. What's the furthest away day in the Scottish Premiership? What is the furthest away day in the Scottish Premiership? Which two teams contend that away day?
Say that again.
What's the furthest away day in the Scottish Premiership?
Well, fans travelling.
Yes. So there's two teams at play. You've just got to give me the two teams. They're basically two furthest from each other. You better call Gary Naismith back at some point, Ewan.
In the Premiership?
Yeah.
I've got it, I think.
Ewan, you got an answer?
Is it as the crow flies, or is it via a road?
It works both ways. I checked this. It works both ways, but via road is what I initially based it on.
Okay. Right, Ewan, you need to write down an answer. Come on, pal.
Come on, Ewan. Write something down.
Ewan.
I've got something.
Right, well, you go first then, when you go.
Ross County and Aberdeen.
Stephen, what have you written down?
I've written down Ross County and Kilmarnock.
Oh, God. One of these is right.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And that person is Stephen Mill.
Hold on, Gary's phone in.
Do you want the Champions League music?
Hi, Gary. Oh, he's gone.
Aye.
So we won again, Ewan.
But what was the distances?
I don't know, Ewan. I just got the answer.
Wait a second. You make a
Ross County in Aberdeen. So you think Dingwall is closer? Well, Aberdeen and Dingwall are closer than Dingwall and Kilmarnock.
Wait a fucking minute. You don't know the
go
answer.
Go and get a map out.
Do you know what the fucking distance is between, to be fair, John,
you should know the distance.
Between Aberdeen and Kilmarnock.
Right. Hold on.
Fucking shambles, man.
Jesus.
I mean, I'm still right. But how do you know? Because he fucking doesn't know.
Because...
He doesn't know Dingwall's further away.
I bet you any money
he made up and he said without checking Google's maps.
From Kilmarnock than it is Aberdeen.
I'm telling you right now, he just made that up in his own head.
Right, I'm doing it now.
Fucking Aberdeen.
He's doing it now.
Global Energy Stadium to Pittodrie, right?
Right.
Pittodrie.
So
I'm not listening to him.
Ross County to Pittodrie is
2 hours 52 and it's 116 miles.
2 hours 52 and 116 miles.
For what?
Ross County to Pittodrie.
Ross County to Pittodrie.
That's long.
Oh, yeah.
My screens have gone off here. Ewan, did you... you're right. I was like, my screens have gone off there.
You're standing right in front of the camera.
Right, and then we go to the Global Energy Stadium.
So Ross County to Rugby Park, which is in Kilmarnock.
Yeah, and that is Rugby Park. Rugby Park Road. There we go.
What is it?
211 miles and takes 4 hours 5 minutes.
11 miles and 4 hours 5 minutes.
You just have to get your little fingers, go into a map, get your little finger out, and then you'll realise.
You're the fucking quiz master! Well, it's not up to me.
Checked it.
I don't fucking know what questions you're going to do.
Right, Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock is the furthest
fucking
south
idiot.
Club. The furthest north club is Ross County. It's obvious.
Jambo Tetch is back.
Jambo
He's back
Tetch
with
is
vengeance.
Well back. There we go then.
Bye, Ewan. There he goes. There's Ewan. Right, that's it for this week's podcast. Thanks very much. We're back next Monday with another episode. And yeah, thanks for being here. It's been a lot of fun. So we have managed to narrow down the mass footballer just a wee bit as well. This player played with either Hearts or Hibs, never won a major domestic trophy with them as well. So get thinking on that at Big Football Scott, obviously, and leave all your comments on YouTube. We'll read out the best of them next week on the show. After that, obviously, return of club football this weekend. We're looking forward to that and looking forward to speaking next Monday on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm away for a Lemsip. Have a cracking week, everyone. Cheery bye.